Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. If you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to BlackBuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Brody Henderson, Giannis Poutelis, Chester Floyd, Randall Williams, Mackenzie Elmquist, Hansi Dischermeyer, and Logan Dove. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there's a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at average points per game. You guys have a guess as to who leads us in average points per game?
Brody.
Brody.
Yep.
Number one.
They're in agreement that it's Brody. The leaders are Randall and Brody, who average 6.7 points per game. That's followed by Tony Peterson with 6.5. Steve Rinello with 6.3, Tyler Jones and Giannis with 6.0, and Cal with 5.5. The average score for all Meat Eater Trivia players is 4.1.
Hmm. Back in the old days, like 67% was like a D. Back in grade school.
Now you can win. I feel like it
still
is.
Still in the modern days, it is.
I've got feedback from the board game. Two different people in the last week that got it for Christmas and then played it since. And both said that it was hard.
Oh. Well, in a few years, we hope to have a kids' version, which would be all multiple choice. And so if folks felt like that was hard, maybe that would be more than speed.
Were these two people children, or should they be insulted by that suggestion?
Is there any chance you'd ever include the flavor text on the card? That's something I heard too. People are missing the flavor text.
Honestly, no. It's like that, like triples the amount of work at some point. So to come up with 10 questions is one thing. To come up with 10 questions that each have a paragraph of flavor text, that like triples what I need to put into it. So no, you listen, if you're a consumer, you can choose between having like 800 questions with no flavor text or like 300 questions with flavor text. I think if I was them, I would pick the 800 questions.
Yeah, at that point, you're writing an encyclopedia.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Spencer, we played with the family over Christmas, and Ike, my brother, I think on the first one got 8 right.
Wow.
The next one, he almost had a perfect game. He
got
9. He kicked all of our butts.
Okay, let us know next time Ike is in town. Yep. We'll get him a seat in the trivia room.
Would he like to come and play?
Yeah, he'd play. He's a smart fella. I don't know. I don't have that.
Don't know where it came from. Now, here's our new segment, which is FAQs. If you have a question for our crew related to Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line FAQ. Here's what Brent Simmons wants to know. I feel like I have a good idea about what most people do at Meat Eater, but have no clue what role Brody and Randall have besides playing trivia.
Nobody does.
Are they in accounting, writers, video editors, maintenance guys, or something else?
Listen, this guy needs to pay more attention. I feel like...
Yeah, Brody, what do you
so
do?
Go ahead.
That's, hold on. That's really a frequently asked question.
No, but it was what one person
like
wrote
anyone
in.
Anyone that has listened to the Meat Eater podcast.
So, Brody, just go ahead and tell folks what you do.
I'm a writer. I write books with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing it for a long time.
I think if you even open up our most recent book, the Catch a Crayfish, Count the Stars, you'll see by Stephen Ranella with Brody Henderson.
And
in there.
On the survival book, same
and in the
thing.
There you go.
Yep.
Randall, what do you do here at Meat Eater? Are you a maintenance guy?
No, I'd say
accounting.
I do the same thing as Brody, working on the
Meat Eater's
American History series. It's my primary day job. Which
plug it.
By the time of this release, it should be out there and available for sale. Goes on sale Tuesday, January 9th, wherever you get your audiobooks. Thank you, Giannis. And we're hard at work on volume 2.
There
What's
you go,
volume
Brent.
Volume 2 about?
Mountain men.
Mm-hmm.
Is your secondary day job maintenance or this?
I wish. I mean, I had really, you know, I just keep showing up and they tell me different stuff to do and I just keep doing it.
There you go, Brent. Brody and Randall work with Steve on our books and audio projects. We have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, I told Brody that EHD and blue tongue are different diseases, even though people refer to them as the same thing. Brody then asked how they differ, to which I didn't have an answer at the time, but I do now.
No, you did have an answer. You said it wasn't worth explaining.
Well, I felt like my answer was, it's not worthy of correcting somebody. If you're talking to a rancher in eastern Montana and he's like, boy, these deer sure got crushed by blue tongue this year, you wouldn't be like, well, actually, let me explain it to you. Here's a quote from the Institute of Agriculture. Quote, blue tongue and EHD are similar viral diseases spread by biting gnats, which result in similar clinical signs. Blue tongue typically results in severe disease and death in sheep, while cattle have reproductive losses. EHD, on the other hand, affects all ages of deer and is highly infectious and often results in many fatalities. However, EHD in cattle is unusual, and the clinical signs are milder than in white-tailed deer. The Montana FWP adds a bit more clarity, saying that EHD has been reported in whitetails, muleys, bighorn sheep, elk, and pronghorn, and that blue tongue has been reported in all of those species, as well as black-tailed deer, sheep, cattle, and goats. So, simply put, EHD is more often associated with wild animals, while blue tongue is more often associated with domestic animals. There you go, Brody.
Thank you. Very clear.
So when we have those big die-offs that you'll see out east and whatnot, or everywhere, it's most likely EHD and not blue tongue. Indeed.
Correct. Okay. But again, if you were like talking to a Montana rancher, I wouldn't go out of my way to be like, well,
yeah,
see here, buddy.
Especially if you're trying to get permission.
That's exactly right, Chester. That's a person you want to be sucking up to. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1. The topic is woodsmanship. This first great question comes to us via Tim Brown. Which of these states has the most native species of venomous snakes? Is it Arkansas, Georgia, Nebraska, or Arizona? Topic is woodsmanship. Hansi writing his answer for the whole world to see over here. Which of these states has the most native species of venomous snakes? Arkansas, Georgia, Nebraska, Arizona.
I do feel like I regress to the elementary school days of hiding my test answers when I'm playing trivia.
Okay. Don't trust Chester and Hansi.
No, like I'm going to get some folders and put them up at like the 90-degree angle.
There you go. Which of these states has the most native species of venomous snakes? Arkansas, Georgia, Nebraska, Arizona. Is everybody ready? Logan shaking his head no. Randall, are you confident?
Not confident in the slightest.
Okay.
No.
Brody, I don't have to ask if he's confident. He does not look it right now. Arkansas, Georgia, Nebraska, Arizona. Is everybody ready? Brody?
Does the cobra live in any of those states?
Brody?
That's all right. I'll stick with it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying Georgia. Mackenzie saying Georgia. Chester saying Georgia. Brody saying Georgia. The whole room said Georgia. The whole room is wrong.
Oh.
The correct answer is Arizona.
Oh. Damn. Come on.
You know, the native descriptor in there kind of gave me a little bit of hesitancy after the fact.
What changed your mind there, Hansi?
It seemed like a possibility that Georgia would have a high likelihood of introduced species being in a temperate, relatively
like
temperate.
Cobras and black mambas.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like stuff coming out of aquariums. Mm-hmm. People were releasing stuff, like them taking hold. I don't know.
Arizona is home to 19 native species of venomous snakes, which is the most in the United States. That's followed by Texas with 15, Alabama with 11, and California, Georgia, New Mexico, and Oklahoma with 10. Arkansas is home to 6, and Nebraska is home to 4.
Is Arizona just a bunch of different rattlers?
I believe it is. It's every variety of rattlesnake exists there.
Now, if the question didn't have the native descriptor, would the answer have changed?
I would imagine you'd see something like a Florida way up there, or a Texas already has, 15 native species versus Arizona having 19. I would assume that Texas would then surpass them. If you added in the non-native ones. This question was just about the native species. That is a 0%er, a rare 0%er on a multiple choice question.
I'm going to remember that one, though.
Question 2. The topic is cooking. These 3 words describe the St. Patrick's Day staple that consists of sausage, potatoes, and onion gravy. The topic is cooking. These 3 words describe the St. Patrick's Day staple that consists of sausage, potatoes, and onion gravy. Randall is confident. Randall, how much Irish do you have in you?
Very little.
Okay.
Very little. Much to the surprise of many, based on my physiognomy.
That's a fun word.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one. Can I get a definition?
Someone would probably correct me if I gave a definition, but I believe it refers to generally the expression of your genes as they appear on your, I don't know.
These 3 words describe the St. Patrick's Day staple that consists of sausage, potatoes, and onion gravy. Randall and Yanni are the only ones.
I don't know the definition either, but I think yours suffice for me.
Yanni and Randall are the only ones who look confident. Now, Brody, you were torn on that last one between your answer, Georgia, and something else.
You got to stop talking.
Okay, we're not going to acknowledge Brody. Nobody look at Brody.
Oh, we just had a
lost
light.
Lights, Phil.
We had a light incident.
I did that on purpose.
Really?
I only keep them on for the light show at the beginning, and even then, they don't look very impressive.
It's funny. I've been staring at the light this whole time.
Don't do that.
Trying to figure out whether or not it was a new thing for me. I was like, why is this so distracting? Turns out my instinct's dead on.
Does everybody have an answer for the 3 words that describe the St. Patrick's Day staple that consists of sausage, potatoes, and onion gravy? Everybody ready? Yanni is grinning. Yanni, you like your answer?
I feel like it's the only dish I know that could fit in.
Mackenzie, I think we're waiting on you.
Okay.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying bangers and mash. Mackenzie saying poutine, poutine, poutine. Chester saying beans and mash. Brody saying bangers and mashers. Logan saying the Holy Trinity. Giannis saying bangers and mash. Randall saying bangers and mash. The correct answer is bangers and mash. Are we going to give it to Brody, who said mashers? I think we would give it to him.
I think so. Yeah, I think we will.
Randall?
Gee, thanks.
Man,
is it also British?
I remember, so it's abstained from that.
You're right that it is British.
Now, Randall.
But the Irish have sort of claimed it as their own.
Okay.
I advocated for you getting that answer a couple games back.
Oh, I know. And that's why I'm abstaining rather than saying no.
So we're going to give Brody the point for saying bangers and mashers.
I just ordered this the other day.
You put down beans. You are so close, Chester. Now, the history of this dish dates back to World War One.
I know, but
I couldn't think of it.
I was like, something with a B.
The history of this dish dates back to World War One, when meat shortages caused Brits to make sausage links that were disproportionately high in water. Because of the excess moisture, the sausages would pop and hiss when cooked, which led them to being called bangers. To learn how to make the perfect sausage for bangers and mash, go to themeateater.com and check out Justin Townsend's recipe called Venison Irish Breakfast Sausage. Question three. The topic is hunting. What is the second most popular objective lens size for binoculars at Bass Pro Shops and Scheels?
Why'd you have to do second?
We're not looking for the first most popular. We're looking for the second most popular objective lens size for binoculars at Bass Pro Shops and Scheels. Do you think you know first, Mackenzie?
Yeah.
Yanni, you feel good about your answer?
Yes, I do.
Yanni, when's the last time you had bangers and mash?
I don't know. Within 2 years.
Really? What was the occasion?
Oh, just make it at home. I don't make like a special onion gravy, but if I just cook up sausages and mashed potatoes, then I call it bangers and mash.
I had bangers and mash on December 27th.
Oh, so like a week ago.
2023, yep.
What was the occasion?
Up to dinner at the Fainting Goat Pub.
Okay. Are they like very specifically Irish?
They have some Irish-themed dishes.
Would you have gotten that right if you didn't just order that a week
ago? Most certainly.
Okay. Yeah.
Fainting Goat, is that in Missoula?
Hey, Chet, sorry, really quick. I got to put on my electrician's hat and fix that after this show, but can you and Mackenzie share a mic for the rest of the show? Sorry, thank you.
Does everybody have an answer for the second most popular objective lens size? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying 10 by 60. Mackenzie saying 10 by 50. Chester saying 12 by 42. Brody saying 50 millimeter. Logan saying 50 millimeter. Giannis saying 50. Randall saying 50 millimeter. The correct answer is 50. The room did very well. Mackenzie will give it to you. Even though you added in the magnification, you got the right objective lens size. At Scheels, there are 67 binoculars available with an objective lens size of 42 millimeters. That's followed by 32 available in 50 millimeters, 25 available in 32 millimeters, and 22 available in 25 millimeters. The objective lens size affects the physical size of the binos and the amount of light they can gather.
So you weren't talking about units sold, but what they carry.
I would imagine they go hand in hand, but yes, which ones
are their forecasting team is good.
That's right. Question four. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Lyle McCormick. The CCC, which was established by Franklin D. Roosevelt, stands for what? The CCC, which was established by Franklin D. Roosevelt, stands for what? The room is looking very confident, minus Logan. Brody, Hansi, Randall, quick to answer. You need to tell us what the CCC stands for. Brody, do you have any binoculars in your gear shed that aren't a 42 or a 50 millimeter bino?
No, but I'm wanting to get in some smaller ones for turkey season.
Mm.
Some little guys. Because you don't really need great big jumbos for that.
How about you, Yanni? Anything that's not a 42 or a 50?
Yeah, I got an 8x25, I believe, that I use for deer stand hunting and turkey hunting.
There you go. Some of the sizes I wasn't even aware existed. I know there were 32 or 25s available.
Remember those little teeny Tascos?
Yeah, those just are, like the straight tube.
I just when I see those, I'm like, I don't even know who they're for. Like some specific birders.
Who the opera.
They're for people who don't want to spend money on binoculars.
Dude, for tree stand hunting in the Midwest, and, sure. and when you can't see past 100 yards anyways, mm-hmm. that's all you need. Oh, I think I have it wrong, but I can't think of another answer.
Again, this is question four. We're looking for what the CCC stands
oh,
for.
Oh, no. I got it.
Oh, another late one from Giannis.
Which of those C's are you changing, Yanni? All three of them or just one of them?
I guess I think I only have to change the first one.
Change okay. all three.
That's a good tip.
Go with
a
your
good
gut.
Tip.
We're waiting on you, Yanni.
I forgot the word.
This is a good attempt, Randall, to distract him. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying Civilian Conservation Corps. Mackenzie saying Captain's Conservation Club. Chester saying Conservation Coalition Commission.
Really good alliteration.
Just great alliteration. That should exist. Brody saying Civilian Conservation Corps. Logan saying Conservation Capitalism C. Giannis saying Civilian Conservation Corps. Randall saying Civilian Conservation Corps. The correct answer is the Civilian Conservation Corps. The Civilian Conservation Corps was created in 1933 as a way to help lift America out of the Great Depression. It allowed single men between ages 18 to 25 to enlist in work programs that were designed to improve the country's public lands. Enlisters made $30 per month and had meals and lodging provided. Brody, do you think you'd have been part of the CCC if you were a single man between ages 18 and 25?
I probably would have needed the work. So, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm sure. They built a lot of dams and stuff like that.
I think a lot of things you look at on our federal lands, you could mm-hmm. probably have something related to the CCC.
Yep.
To
any cool thing that's been blasted into the side of a mountain, they probably had a hand in it.
And I think of that $30 a month, they had to send $25 back to their family. And it was, so they only got like $5 of that to keep around. Question five, the topic is gear. This synthetic rubber that's resistant to oil, heat, and weathering was invented by DuPont chemists in 1931. Topic is gear. This synthetic rubber that's resistant to oil, heat, and weathering was invented by DuPont chemists in 1931. This is question five. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. Randall already has his board down with an answer. Yanni has not picked up his board yet. Randall, you know this one.
I feel okay about it. I wrote down my first best guess, and now I'm working on my second guess, and then I'll weigh the two.
This synthetic rubber that's resistant to oil, heat, and weathering was invented by DuPont chemists in 1931. Randall is back to his whiteboard. Brody is covering his face with his whiteboard. Yanni, how do you feel about your answer?
I have a good guess.
Okay.
I'm going to keep working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Randall keeps writing.
Oh, Yanni, boy. We recently did some more kids trivia, which you'll hear later this year. And I think I observed that your daughter, Mabel, liked to watch what the other players in the room would do after the answer was read. She wanted to see their confidence in their answer, if they were quick to write down, if they were slow, if they, like, scratched their head. And I said that your dad does the exact same thing. Did you know you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like to sit there and just drink it all in.
Well, yeah, because... If they sit there and write for mm-hmm. 10 seconds, then you got a pretty good idea. That's a long answer.
It's a good hint.
You know, what else she was doing is she said they both were pushing to go squirrel hunting. I was like, what's the big interest in going squirrel hunting? She's like, well, I want to go squirrel hunting. But another thing is that last time we did kids trivia, Spencer asked me what I like to do. And she said that I had said hammocking. She said, that's a stupid answer. It made no sense. So this time, when he asked me, I'm going to say, I like to go squirrel hunting, and I want to make sure that I've done it recently so that I'm not fibbing.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Love that. So did you go squirrel hunting yet?
We did go squirrel hunting. The Henderson family and my family mm-hmm. went, and we saw, my crew saw two. I think Brody's crew saw a few more. We only killed one squirrel on our expedition.
Not a lot of movement that day.
So next time we ask what they like to do in the outdoors, is she still going to say squirrel hunting? Or like...
I expect so.
Okay.
If she says hammocking again, she's going to beat herself up for a while.
Does everybody have an answer for the synthetic rubber that's resistant to oil, heat, and weathering that was invented by DuPont chemists in 1931? Mackenzie, I believe we're waiting on you.
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying vulcanized. Mackenzie saying neoprene. Pretty Chester saying Vibram. Brody saying PVC. Logan saying neoprene. Giannis saying PVC. Randall saying silicone. We have a correct answer in the room. It's neoprene. Mm. Hansi got it right.
Not me.
And
no.
Logan got it.
Logan
oh,
and
I'm sorry.
Got it.
Logan and Mackenzie got it right. Well done, Logan and Mackenzie. Neoprene was originally used in telephone wires and automobile engines and was later turned into gloves and shoe soles. It wasn't until the 1950s when the first neoprene wetsuit was created. About a decade later, the modern wetsuit was invented when elastic nylon was added to the neoprene. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
We've got Chester Floyd in last place with 0 points. Mackenzie, Logan, and Hansi all have 2 points apiece, and all tied up in first place. Brody, Giannis, and Randall, they all have 3 points.
Now, the PVC answer, I don't blame you boys, because I make the Meat Eater Trivia universe pretty wide, but what did you think that was related to Meat Eater Trivia, that PVC would be an answer?
Why does it have to do with anything to do with Meat Eater Trivia? You have questions all the time that have nothing to do with Meat Eater
Trivia.
Yeah,
what kind of question is that?
Question six. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via John
Schlesinger. But I get what you're getting at. The neoprene mm-hmm. makes sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family and you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting.
Ambergris, which is a waxy substance that's sometimes used to make perfume, is produced by this animal.
How specific, Spencer?
You don't need to be specific.
No.
If you think the answer
I think it should be, because it's...
Ambergris, which is a waxy substance that's sometimes used to make perfume, is produced by this animal. Brody is confident. Hansi, you have this one right?
Yeah.
Randall, you have this one
very
right.
Much arguing yes. In favor of specificity.
But Brody, yeah, you're throwing me off with that, though, so I don't think...
It wouldn't
I'm
matter, Brody.
Right.
It wouldn't matter.
It might for
you,
some people.
You know how specific you need to go, Randall.
Huh? Brody just wants to separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's right. That's
unless I'm, yeah, unless
and
I'm
I would,
totally
I'll
off
make
base.
An argument after this that makes
you
my case even better.
You don't need to be that specific. Ambergris, which is a waxy substance that's sometimes used to make perfume, is produced by this animal. Yanni, you got a chance to observe the room in their... writing down of answers, did that help you any?
No.
Okay.
I think your question gives some hints.
Mm.
I think you should check your pronunciation too.
Mm. Oh, okay. You think the S should be on there?
I'm just saying, check it.
Okay. That's well, how would you pronounce
do you, yeah,
it?
Do you have the correct amount?
That's one of those words I've never heard spoken. I've only read.
I think I could be wrong.
I think I'm right here, but I can check for you while we do this. Maybe fill us in with some banter there, Yanni.
Brody, does this animal live in a place that both of us have fished of the same name?
What?
here, Google is going to tell us how to pronounce it.
Ambergris.
Oh. You're right, Brody. I thought it was ambergris. Ambergris, which is a waxy substance that's sometimes used to make perfume, is produced by this animal that is spelled A-M-B-E-R-G-R-I-S.
Spencer, you've had AI, like ChatGPT, come up with, you know, poems and mm-hmm. things before. Would you ever have like an AI play trivia with us? I feel like that'd be kind of...
Oh, so we've had somebody write in about this before, and trivia has like a 90, or excuse me, AI, ChatGPT specifically, gets like 95% of answers correct. Mm. The category it struggled with the most was hunting, I believe. That was where it had a batting average of like 70%. Mm. Everything else, cooking, conservation, fishing, was nearly 100%. Now here, this says, Webster says you can pronounce it ambergris or ambergris. So there we go. Either way will work.
Looking to confirm your
checkmate.
Bias there.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Oh.
We have Hansi saying whale, Mackenzie saying beaver, darn Chester it. Saying otter, Brody saying sperm whale,
well,
Logan
I said whale.
Saying whale, Giannis saying turtle, Randall saying whale. The correct answer is sperm whale or just whale.
Darn.
Ambergris, or floating gold, is created when secretions form around squid beaks in the intestines of sperm whales. The Endangered Species Act prohibits people from collecting or selling ambergris because it's considered part of a protected animal. The largest ambergris ever found weighed 220 pounds and was worth about $3 million.
Yeah, the only thing that threw me off in the phrasing of this question was
the present tense, and I was beginning to doubt myself. Like if it had said like, which has historically been used to make perfume.
So it's still used in some, but only like the most expensive of perfume.
And where do they?
I think it's used in like the preservation
black
of the
market.
Scent, and it's less about the scent itself.
Gotcha.
It's more about like making it long lasting.
Mm.
So when you spray it on yourself, you're still going to smell it the next day.
To gotcha. Answer your question, Giannis, yes.
Yeah.
Ambergris K. Key. However you, K or key. Please.
Okay.
They must have been a huge trafficker.
They were.
That's why.
What are you talking about there, Brody? I'm not familiar.
In Belize, there's an island called Ambergris Cay, or Key, however you want to pronounce it. And it was a British colonized Belize. And ambergris was a big reason why they were there.
Mm. Yeah, finding one of those could change your life if it was legal to keep. Question 7, the topic is biology. Fertility is a synonym for this 9-letter word, which is defined as, quote, an animal's ability to produce a lot of babies. The topic is biology. Brody and Randall already have an answer. Mackenzie is joining them. Fertility is a synonym for this 9-letter word, which is defined as an animal's ability to produce a lot of babies.
Nine, baby. Nine letters.
Can I give a hint to people who don't know? The word Steve.
I was
going to
say,
it's
one of Steve's favorite words that he feels very proud of whenever he uses it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helped anybody, though, who.
I feel like it's a fair hint.
Didn't already know it.
It is. That's a good one.
And he doesn't slide over it. He hits it.
He looks you in the eye. You heard me use that word, right? Yeah, I did.
Chester, did that help you at all?
No.
Steve uses a lot of words to
I just cannot think today.
Efficacy instead of efficiency. You know, it's like that.
Does everybody have an answer for this question, which is question 7? Fertility is a synonym for this 9-letter word, which is defined as, quote, an animal's ability to produce a lot of babies.
It's not the same thing, too, but I love his pronunciation of bagel.
And vague.
When he's and vague. Yeah. Bagel.
We shouldn't be bad. We shouldn't be attacking him behind his back. Come on.
He also goes out of his way to say,
listen to this show.
To say Teddy Roosevelt instead of Roosevelt. Which is
I feel like that's fair though.
That's correct, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I noticed that he hammers that one. Like he wants you to know
that he
intentionally said it.
He read somewhere that the family prefers Roosevelt.
Does everybody have an answer
Hold on,
for question
I got to count
seven.
My letters.
Okay.
I
feel this is easy.
Okay.
You have this one right, Mackenzie?
Just going to erase one. And
I knew my first one was wrong. I knew it was wrong, but it got me to the second one.
Is everybody ready?
I'm just ready.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hanzi saying fecundity. Mackenzie saying fruitful. Chester without an answer. Brody saying fecundity. Logan saying procreate. And he drew out like hangman little dashes to make sure he hit 9 letters. Giannis saying fecundity. Randall saying fecundity. The correct answer is fecundity. Fecundity rates are often tied to parental care. So animals with a high fecundity rate produce a lot of offspring, but put very little energy into raising them. An example of this is a trout. And animals with a low fecundity rate produce few offspring, but put a lot of energy into raising them. An example of this is an elephant and some humans. Question 8. The topic is public lands. What is the only national park in Oregon?
Ooh.
This is question 8. The topic is public lands. Randall is quick to come up with an answer. What is the only national park in Oregon? We will get a scoreboard update after this. Have you ever been here, Dr. Randall?
I have not. I have not.
Is it near
California and Washington? Yes.
What is the only national park in Oregon? Oh. Hanzi, you have an answer?
But is it closer to...
I do, but Randall's That makes me change my thought a little bit.
Really?
What if I had used the Pacific Ocean in Idaho?
Now he's just flexing his geography muscle. Hansi, do you think you've been to this place?
If it's what I have written down, I've been there, but what, I don't think...
What is the only national park in Oregon? Oregon feels like a place that should have like a half dozen national parks.
That's what I was just thinking. It's such a beautiful state. Mm-hmm. It's only got one national park. It's crazy.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Brody is frustrated.
Yeah, just keep talking. I'll come up with
The hat is low. The hat is low and the board is high.
He currently looks like, is it a home improvement? What's the neighbor's name? Wilson?
Yeah, Wilson.
He currently is doing the Wilson look over there. Logan, do you have an answer?
I do, but it's probably not right.
Okay.
And you just made me think of flashbacks to Home Improvement. I was watching a lot of Tim Allen stuff over the holidays.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, Santa Claus.
He's kind of put it. Yeah,
he's like the main.
I was thinking of some of his newer
Santa
work.
Claus things.
I was thinking of some of his more recent projects.
No.
Phil, did you like Home Improvement?
Oh yeah. We're big Home Improvement. Well, a lot of sound effects. Like,
I was just gonna ask if you could hit that one more time. Everyone, be quiet.
That was too much pressure.
Phil went cross-eyed when he did that. He had to reach down deep to make that Tim Allen noise.
The second one was better, by the way, too.
I have a little grunt to it.
That was bad. I can't do it.
It's like a grunt and a slide whistle at once.
Right. Yeah. Doing those is like a cigarette. It takes like 11 minutes off your life. And you try to hit one of those.
I wish I knew that when I was 9.
What is the only
national park? I think Tim Allen
would
be long gone if that was the case.
In Oregon. Well, he did a lot of cocaine, I think, in the 80s that offset it. So that's, as you know, adds minutes to your life.
Yeah, let me do the math.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
Does everybody have an answer? Brody?
Go ahead.
Yanni? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying Smith Rock. Mackenzie saying Crater Lake. Chester saying Sequoia. Brody saying fossils, Logan saying redwoods, Giannis saying Hell's Canyon, Randall saying Crater Lake. We have a correct answer in the room. It's Crater Lake National Park. Crater Lake is the deepest lake in the United States at nearly 2,000 feet deep. It lies inside the collapsed remnants of an ancient volcano known as Mount Mazama. Biologists believe there are no native fish to the lake, but it does have kokanee salmon and rainbow trout that were stocked there about 100 years ago.
Isn't Crater Lake the one with the giant log that's floating?
That is the old man of Crater Lake.
Okay.
Posted about that on Instagram before. It's a very old piece of driftwood that stays perfectly buoyant. It's similar to a glacier where you only see like 10% of it on the surface. It moves around the lake. Scientists tried to study it once before, and they chained it up to like an island. And then a huge storm hit, so it was believed that it was bad luck to try to contain the old man of Crater Lake, so they just let him drift after that. There's like some algae on him that's only observed in that spot.
Did you guys rehearse this?
No, I have aspirations to go to Crater Lake later this year, and I'd love to see the old man. So we'll see.
I think the island is called like Merlin Island or Wizard Island. It's a cool name.
No,
Phil the engineer, give us a scoreboard update.
Chester, Mackenzie, and Logan have been eliminated from the game. Logan and Mackenzie have 3 points, though, so that's nice. Giannis and Hansi have 4 points apiece. Brody has 5, and in first place is Randall with 6 points.
Question 9.
What is that intonation there?
It's haunting.
I put more enthusiasm into your name than anyone else's.
Question 9, the topic is haunting. What holiday was the blizzard of 1940 that killed 85 Midwestern duck hunters?
I feel like I know this.
What holiday was the blizzard of 1940 that killed 85 Midwestern duck hunters? Brody, you have this one right?
Yeah, I do.
He appears to be the only one with any confidence. What holiday was the blizzard of 1940 that killed 85 Midwestern duck hunters?
Now, is this a real holiday or is this like Arbor Day?
Why don't you like Arbor Day?
You got something against trees?
I don't know. Just
well, did we had a tiebreaker once about Arbor Day?
We did.
I think
indeed.
It was, and you were about 4 months off.
We did indeed.
Correct answer.
Yeah.
So Randall is the only person on Earth who is taking a stance against Arbor Day. He is anti-Arbor Day.
Don't come after me.
This is question 9. What holiday was the blizzard of 1940 that killed 85 Midwestern duck hunters? Is everybody ready? Randall has erased his entire board. Did you change your mind, or do you just need to write in prettier handwriting?
I'll just write. Here we go.
Mackenzie, are you ready?
Yes.
What? Now explain what's going on here again, Randall. Randall has totally erased his board for a second time. Is this answer going to be your first answer, or is it your third answer?
It's my first answer, and I don't like it.
Okay.
But I didn't like the other one either.
Mackenzie?
Just guess a holiday.
I realized I said something really stupid.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying Columbus Day. Mackenzie saying President's Day. Chester saying Christmas. Brody saying Armistice Day. Logan saying Armistice Day. Giannis saying Armistice. Randall saying President's Day. The correct answer is Armistice Day or Veterans Day. Prior to 1954, it was Armistice Day, but if you said Veterans Day, we would give you credit for that. Mm. The blizzard unexpectedly hit the upper Midwest on the afternoon before Armistice Day, which caused hundreds of duck hunters to get stranded on the water. The storm brought 2 feet of snow, 80-mile-per-hour winds, and a 30-degree temperature swing. It's estimated the blizzard killed 210 people, 65 of which were sailors on Lake Michigan. For more on this story, read my article on themeateater.com called Armistice Day, the day 85 duck hunters died. Phil, we have one question left. Who is left in the game?
We have 3 players left in the game. Giannis has 5 points, so he can technically catch up. And then tied up are Randall and Brody with 6 points.
Question 10. The topic is fishing. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Adam McQueary. For sending this great question, Adam is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. What fish has a magnolia hybrid that's created when crossing a white species with a black species? The room is stumped. This is our final question. We would need Giannis to get this right, Randall and Brody to get this wrong to go to a 3-way tiebreaker, or we could just have Brody and Randall get it right. They would go to a tiebreaker. We could have them get it wrong, Yanni get it wrong, and they would just go to a tiebreaker. A lot of options to go
this
to an
11th
question.
This is one of those
question.
Man-made jobbies.
Not going to help you out there. What fish has a magnolia hybrid that's created when crossing a white species with a black species? Yanni, how do you feel about your answer?
I might have to argue that it's correct.
Okay. I think you're headed the right direction, Giannis.
Okay. So make for an exciting finish to the game.
It wouldn't be a game of trivia without this.
What fish has a magnolia hybrid that's created when crossing a white species with a black species? This is question 10. Randall just came up with an answer. How do you feel about it?
There's a white species and a black species.
Okay.
Don't know about this magnolia business.
Okay.
But.
I don't understand. Are you looking for the name of the fish, the hybrid, or are you looking for...
I'm telling you the hybrid is a magnolia. This would be like if you cross a white lab with a black lab, you would get a magnolia lab.
And the answer would be lab.
Lab would be the correct answer there. Oh, Mackenzie is throwing gear across the room.
Tensions are high.
She really wants to see this 3-way tiebreaker come to fruition.
I was paid to do that.
What fish has a magnolia hybrid that's created when crossing a white species with a black species? Brody is hitting that Wilson pose again. He hasn't come up with an answer quite yet. We are waiting on him.
No, I have an answer.
You have an answer. Is everybody else ready?
Let's go.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hansi saying, what's that say, Hansi?
Roy? Roy. I don't know.
Mackenzie saying carp. Chester saying marlin. Brody saying bass. Logan saying koi fish. Giannis saying goldfish. Randall saying crappie. We have a correct answer in the room.
Randall.
It's crappie.
Yep.
Randall. Ah! Got it. Right. Well done, Randall. With 7 correct answers,
he gets
the victory.
Thank you.
A magnolia crappie is created when crossing a female white crappie with a male black crappie. This sterile hybrid was created by the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks in the 1990s. They wanted to have a panfish that could be stocked in small lakes and wouldn't be a threat to take them over. Now, Brody was writing down bass because the species at large is a black bass, but there are white bass that are also a species, and he was ready to argue that one of them is a species, one of them is, what, probably a class or something like that. Is that what you were going to go for?
That black bass aren't bass.
Mm-hmm. But the correct answer was crappie, so Randall's our winner.
Now, down in Tennessee, in a small region, they call crappie goldfish.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Swimming gold.
Randall, you get to choose where the $500.
I'm convinced, actually. Let's go to that.
Well, okay, even if you get that right, Yanni, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Because Randall also got it right. He got 7, you got 6.
I thought we had one more question.
This was question 10.
Oh.
Randall, where is the $500 donation from Meat Eater going to go?
Let's give it to the Rocky Mountain Goat Alliance.
We haven't done them in quite a while. What do you like about them?
Well, goats are cool animals, and they, you know, they sponsor a lot of citizen science field work, and then also support a lot of research. And
that you've been part of, right? You've went and done the goat count.
Yes, and you know, thinking ahead to applications in fall of 2024, I'd really like to have a goat tag in my pocket. So just the again, it's all about me. I wasn't planning that, but now it requires some introspection. But been thinking about goats a lot lately.
Well done, Randall. I was hoping for a tiebreaker there. We were primed to have one, but Brody couldn't do it. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.